The following programming is sponsored by D&D Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Matt Arezzo and Lucia show here on WWDB Talk 860. Very cool show today. It is cold outside, but it's nice and warm inside. Steve Loopsher, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Joe. How you doing?
Fantastic. Sonny Banks in the house. How are you, Sonny?
Fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's always a pleasure, and we got Steve Matarazzo on the line. How are you, Steve?
Good afternoon, and can't wait to discuss some topics in workers' comp and also some current issues in Philadelphia, so I'm ready to go.
Well, let me just say that neither of these guys in the studio now know anything about workers' comp, but they do want to talk about Juan Soto. It's funny because this could be, just to give you, this could be an all-sports show after we talk about our New Jersey and PA work comp. But there's a guy in the house here to my right. And I don't know how, Sonny, I don't know how well you know Steve Loopsher, Steve Matarazzo will, but he is, when he talked about Juan Soto, he's talking because he's jumping up and down, okay? You know, the rich are finally getting rich again and richer.
So I assume he's a Mets fan.
Yeah, I'm a Mets fan. So it's nice as the, as we've been the little brother to the Yankees for
sure,
for forever, to steal one from him and Uncle Stevie Cohen, our owner, and his money worth $20 billion. Give this guy a $765 million contract.
Shocked that none of that money was deferred.
Yeah,
shocked.
It's incredible, man. I mean, it's a crazy world. I don't know if anybody, and Steve Matarazzo, and by the way, if anybody's got anything serious to talk, anything to say about this, it's Steve Matarazzo. But before you do. First of all, you know, you hear about the Hall of Fame, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a long, long time coming.
Dick Allen's finally in.
Dick Allen is finally in, and that's a big deal to us in Philly. Mm-hmm. His stats, although, you know, he only really played 12 years, are unbelievable.
Yeah, impressive.
Impressive. But Dave Parker, did anybody see Dave Parker's interview? He's obviously sick.
Yes.
But he talked about if everything was, you know, right, he'd be playing in the era of today with all the money. So what are your thoughts, Steve Matarazzo?
Well, a number of things. First of all, the thing that caught my eye about the Juan Soto thing, because I pay attention to the fine details, is, first of all, I have told my colleague Steve Loopsher, I think he is a cancer in the clubhouse. It's, Sonny has his law firm. Sonny's been through some things in his career, and certainly I've been through some things in my career with law firms and breakups. And when you have a cancer in a law firm who's not a team player, and I was at a law firm where there were cancers running all over the place until I left, it's not good for the team. So I don't think he's a clubhouse guy. I think he's a selfish, I have to say it politely, selfish gentleman. In addition to that, the thing that caught my eye in the Post was this clown didn't sign with the Yankees because the Yankees would not give his family a suite to every game that would cost God knows how much money. So this guy's small time to me. He'll screw the Mets clubhouse up. There's no doubt. The Phillies have a cohesive clubhouse. They need some pitchers. They need to play small ball more, but my money's still on the Phillies and Atlanta rather than the Mets. You can't just buy a player and think that's going to solve your problems. Look what the clowns up north did. The Jets, they got that lunatic who lives in caves and he doesn't have COVID. Then he does have COVID. He's got 16 girlfriends and he's a weirdo. And that quarterback didn't help the Jets. So my point is proved. It also is proved in Philadelphia with Dorian Beat. He ought to be shipwrecked out of here. He's not a team player. He's a selfish player. I don't want selfish people in my law firm, and I don't want selfish players on my team. Next case.
Yeah, I'm with you, Steve. And unfortunately, the Mets are stuck with him for 15 years because he's got a no-trade clause as part of his deal, right?
Yeah, I'm perfectly okay with that. I don't think that there's any evidence that he's ever been a cancer in the locker room. The other players love him. As far as the sweet thing, I saw that too. That's damage control by the Yankees. You know, they're putting some stuff out. So what if he got a suite? You know, and the Yankees wouldn't do that. That's not why he signed there. He signed there. He signed with the Mets because they offered him more money.
Well, I think the other players love him when he's playing well. He had some, you know, down periods when he was with the Nationals, and things didn't work out too well.
What is amazing?
The rest of the players.
He's a young guy, though. He's only 26. He's 26, one of the best hitters in baseball.
Yeah.
And just kind of is like a shift in the dynamic of the Mets being little brother.
Well, here's right. Here's what I you know what I think. Hold on for a second. I got a text. Juan Soto breaks leg. Wow.
I think he's got his press conference today.
But here's the thing. I mean, when you look at Juan Soto's stats, though, in history, he's in like top three for on base percentage, mm-hmm. and. You know, like all those odd statistics that, you know, and I mean, on base percentage is the one. Like, in other words, and so, you know, there's a lot there, and he's as good as it gets, and he's been getting. But look, I'm a capitalist. Steven, I'm a union guy. I'm a capitalist. But damn, where's the ceiling here? Yeah. $765 million.
Yeah, and you can understand that kind of contract for Otani because of, you know, his pitching skills, as well as him being an exceptional
hitter.
He's
like two players in one.
Exactly. But for Soto, I mean, you know, he's pretty limited.
Well,
he's a defensive liability, in my opinion. And I think his offense is also, you know, limited.
Well,
and don't forget, people, that the stinking Mets are still paying Bobby Bonilla. And when's the last time he was on a baseball
field? I know, but one point, that's like lunch money. It's literally Juan Soto lunch money. But yeah, that was crazy.
And, you know, we're in an era right now in all sports, not just in, you know, major league sports, but, you know, in college. If you look right now, there's, you know, a bunch of college football players that are entering into the transfer portal. You have Bill Belichick that's now going to coach North Carolina. He just hired the former Patch GM, Mike Lombardi, as the North Carolina GM. We're in an era in sports now where money talks. And, you know, there's no more amateurism. And, you know, while Steve, you said earlier that you can't buy a championship, look at the Dodgers. Dodgers won the World Series. They bought Otani. They bought Mookie Betts. They, you know, buy a bunch of pitchers. So I think that's where it's going now. It's beautiful to have a nice cohesive clubhouse and, you know, a bunch of
the Mets are,
underdogs to root for. But
I will say one: did you hear who's going back into the portal? Into the portal.
Who's that?
Me.
Oh yeah,
you're damn right. I'm going back. You guys are all inspirational guys. Don't give up on your dream and all that. Well, here I am. I don't ever let on draft day, whether it's Major League Baseball or NFL, no one gets on my cell phone then. Because if I see a South Philly number coming in.
What position are you going to play?
Well, I sent my Cardinal O'Hara film over to Howie.
You're open for anything.
Right? Yeah, no, I'll play anything. You know, they won't even let me in the games to watch.
Listen, if that's the future of sports, you have to, you know, buy a championship, then you're going to end up with maybe five teams in the league because some of these other, organizations.
The Reds, the Pirates. I mean,
yeah, the Pirates, even the Orioles. I mean, they can't afford it.
I agree.
Yeah, it is.
Well, remember something.
Go ahead, Steve.
Remember something. This is very important, okay? I don't know exactly how old Sonny is. I'm 57. Okay, I'm old school. I still think I don't think Juan Soto is a team player. I would rather have Bryce Harper every day of the week, and God knows how much money he would get today. He can field. He can hit. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a Philly guy now. He gets us. I'd rather have him every day of the week. The problem is, if we translate this to what my colleague just said, that you can buy a championship, well, I challenge my law partner, and I say, well, what's going on in South Philadelphia? We have a center that we're paying, and we have another guy that we're paying. None of these two guys ever suit up. It's a waste of money. It's embarrassing. It's a disgrace to basketball. And then the carpetbagger from New York wants to build a stadium in Chinatown, and there's a vote today. I hope these people that are our people, Joe, our people, you and I grew up here, will die here. I hope our people say no. to this carpetbagger from New York. We have a perfect spot in South Philadelphia where all the highways come together from Jersey, Delaware. You can even get there from New York easy, the Philly suburbs. What do we need a stadium in Chinatown for? And it is embarrassing with those two guys on the team. So I disagree with Mr. Lubscher. You can try to buy a championship. We've been trying to do it how many years with the Sixers?
Well, that's just
and
bad.
They can't get it done.
That's bad management. You put your money in the wrong basket.
Well, it's an interesting point. And by the way, we have Sonny's passionate sports guy. So we got we'll be talking a lot of sports on the shows. This is a very interesting topic. Okay, First of all. One of the things that you need to win, the Mets would be a good example if you looked at Scherzer when they got the pass and all that, and it didn't work out, right? Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of us that have done that. Everybody's done it. Everybody's tried to buy a team or whatever, and things just don't seem to work. And I'm not saying the Eagles I'm not making a great example of them just yet, but in order for you to win it all, for the most part, I get the Dodgers did it, and they're set up like, Jesus. But a lot of times you see those things backfire. You need some guys that you're not expecting. Like this guy Baum, from the linebacker for the Eagles, who was his fifth year. He's played 4 years on special teams and as an edge rusher. And where did he come from, right? Like, we got lucky. We haven't won anything, but I'm just saying you need people. You need like Mariano Rivera, to me, in my opinion, is the greatest
homegrown guys
in the history of baseball. You can't go back to Babe Ruth and all that. But what I'm saying is that here's a guy who they taught a pitch to, he became at his position maybe the greatest human being to ever play a position aside from Babe Ruth and those guys. But you need something to turn out that is exceptional, that wasn't supposed to be exceptional. I mean, like a Tom Brady, that's asking too much, but there's a six.
Yeah, and I think the Dodgers had that this year. Who was their shortstop?
I can't remember his name, but he was great in the playoffs.
Right, exactly. And he was an unknown.
Yeah, you need somebody.
Tommy Edmonds, was it?
Yes,
is that his name?
Exactly.
Yeah.
To win a championship with, nine superstars.
No doubt, and I'm not, suggesting that, but homegrown talent is absolutely a must. And it's great for team building also. And
affordability. You get the first 5-6 years with them, right?
Yeah, well, the problem with baseball, and now as a Met fan, we're fortunate to have an owner that's willing to spend ungodly amount of money. But the discrepancy between the haves and have-nots with no type of salary cap, not even, a hard cap, but no type of salary cap, it's really going to make, for unfair and unlevel playing fields.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see franchises fold.
Well, I'm wondering about that, Steve. I worry. Look, I don't begrudge anybody for making money, but I wonder at what point if we're way past this point. But people can't afford to go to games. I mean, it's this guy, in other words, $765 million.
With incentives or escalators to possibly get up to 800.
I mean, I don't, it's
crazy to think
and
about.
It's a team sport. And, I got Steve Matarazzo, Sonny, Steve Lubscher. First of all, we're going to introduce everybody in a second. But here's a stat. I just made this stat up. I made this stat up. And this is one I'd like to hear, though. Okay. Batting average and on base percentage when you're in a game. Okay, when you're down by three or level in other words, I say that because, a relief pitcher is not going to they might not be bringing people putting butts in the seats, but guess what? If you're down constantly 3-4-5-0, your batting average, I guarantee, isn't you're holding on tight. When you look at the relevancy of a lot of these other players, okay, who aren't the big names, this is a team game, And I don't care who you are, you need a pitching staff, especially in short series and to win a World Series. So it's and I'm talking, okay, you got one guy who's got ice water in his veins, right? You mm-hmm. There's got to be balance, man, and paying every penny, you know, is just a scary thing.
No, in the playoffs in baseball, pitching is absolutely key. What I'll say is, I don't think that one player wins a world championship. You know, if you look at the Mets last year, the Mets had, they were kind of like a plucky, you know, underdog franchise, and there's something, you know, that I like about that. But they've been that way now since 1986, you know, when you have the Yankees, who are the evil empire, in the other, you know, uptown from them. But if you saw, you know, their at-bats, it was a bunch of, you know, during the playoffs, and then they played the Phillies. The Phillies had some poor at-bats, and Steve, we talked about this during the series. The Phillies were, you know, swinging at the first pitch. The Mets were working the count, you know, walks and 3-2 counts, getting the pitchers out early. You know, so by no means am I saying that one player wins a world championship. With that being said, it is nice to finally have a big time free agent superstar.
No question. Sure. But you know, but I think what I didn't like, Dombrowski is picking up pitching, but I didn't like him saying, "Well, we're not going to sign Efrain and Hoffman," even though I don't care if either one of them go. Mm-hmm. I think Hoffman's reached his ceiling, and if we can get, you know, other guys in here, Philadelphia's a weird place to play, man. I don't care how good you are, you know. We've had some really good players leave here and become really good players. Then you get like a Lenny Dykstra, right?
Yeah.
Who was in New York. He came here, and my God, there was a lot of guys that do well in Philly, but we need some pitching, man. We need some middle relief that can, and we need a closer. We got things we got
to
get.
Well, to add insult to injury, didn't the Phillies lose their minor league pitcher of the year in the Rule 5 draft? I think he went to Minnesota.
Who you talking about? Painter?
No, not Painter. It was another kid. I just happened to see a news flash on the internet.
I gotta check that out, guys. Let's segue into something that's very interesting. You may not, Steve Lusher may not be into this, but I'd like to get Sonny and I'd like to get Steve Matarazzo's take on this. What's going on in the Eagles locker room? Okay, with Jalen Hurts, I have always been a fan of his, but over the last couple of years, man, I mean, he's just got an odd look and an odd disposition these days. Like, in other words, you know, I think Bill Colarulo, who is on 97.5, I saw one of his reels, and, you know, they were talking about, you know, somebody asked him a softball question about Sirianni and went off into this long, I mean, this tangent, that, and basically refuses to acknowledge or something wacky. Steve, are you seeing any of this stuff going on, man? I mean, he's on the bench. He's not looking at the note tab or anything like that. I get it. Lucius probably thinking, typical Philadelphia fan, you're 11-2, but damn.
There's a football season?
Well,
he's a Giants fan.
He's a Giants guy. But what are you thinking, Steve?
Here's my analysis. Again, I'm going to go back to what I said in the very beginning. I'm all about team players, whether it be a law firm, a medical practice, or a sports team. I'm not sold on Jalen Hurts yet. If you really want to break this season down, and I know you have to play the teams on your schedule, but really, who have they played other than Baltimore? Now, we're going to play a decent Steelers team. They're winning. I got to give them credit. They're beating the teams they're supposed to beat. But we've had some very shaky, we gave up a 20-some point lead to a terrible team. I'm not sold on the Eagles yet. I'm not sold on the quarterback yet. I don't like dissension in the locker room, just like a law firm. You know, all that stuff came out on the radio this week. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So yeah. They collapsed at the end of the season last year. I think the coach is a little bit too sensitive, especially with us Philadelphia fans. We're going to kill you when you're not doing what you think you should do, and you deserve it. just like Embiid. He shouldn't even be allowed in a restaurant in Philadelphia at this point because he can't show up to play. Allen Iverson showed up every day after drinking and carousing all night and scored 50 points. So I respect
at my nightclub, if you might, if I might say,
allegedly,
right. Allegedly, exactly. So your question with the Eagles is, I don't know how to answer that question yet because I'm not sold on them, and I think there's some problems in that locker room, and we're going to see. We're going to see what happens, but I will give them at least the benefit of the doubt. They're being the teams that they're supposed to beat.
And I think that they're set up for failure if they continue this one-dimensional offense. Yeah. I mean, the passing game has to surface at some point. It seems to me that Jalen is real timid. He's not comfortable, and I don't know if it's a game plan thing or what, but he just doesn't seem to be himself.
Yeah, it's I'll tell you, when he came in the league, I was so excited.
Same here.
I mean, he was like a special personality.
Yep.
In Washington, when that gate fell, he ran towards those right. people, and he was very outgoing and all. Now he's got the sunglasses on. I mean, here's a question. Is it, we're talking money we're sitting here and we're talking about the money with Juan Soto. Now we got a $45 million a year quarterback.
I got the sense though he was like that before the big contract. Well, no, you didn't get that?
No, I didn't. I don't know.
As the quarterback, you can't be aloof. I think that it's deeper than the contract though. You know, and like Steve said, where there's smoke, there's fire. Now, I don't necessarily agree with Brandon Graham bringing, in-house business publicly on the radio. But he and A.J. Brown, and, you guys could correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that they were, like, real close.
And, yeah, they were.
And I don't know if they're still real. I don't know what their personal relationship is. But I think that Jalen was with A.J. Brown when he got drafted by the Titans. I think that they were actually together. I think that they have a long-standing relationship, and it seems like that is somewhat fractured. It's not the same as it was. So I think it's deeper than, the actual
AJ
dollar.
But AJ seems to blame Jalen for not getting passes when it probably isn't his fault. I mean, he's not the one who develops the play scheme.
I do think a lot of times, there were people showing some video about some players that were definitely open, and A.J. Brown, I think that's what it was about. Yeah. I didn't see that, but I saw a minute of it.
All receivers are like that, though. They want the ball, every single play. Well, and you want a receiver like
that. That's right.
You
want he reminds me so much of Toyota's guy. Like, in other words, you got the money, you got everything you need, now you're crying after the game and all. I do think that balance is important. So you have... I don't see a lot of underneath stuff happening. I think that the one when you look at the Patriots in their heyday and all, they had that underneath passing game going. Like, in other words, it was the West Coast offense, and a lot of times I'm seeing the Eagles they'll show the view from behind the quarterback and what he sees. Now it's not a great view, but damn, it looks like they're all covered.
We rarely throw to our tight ends.
Oh yeah, rarely. And so,
yeah, I mean, but you talk about the Patriots, Tom Brady, Belichick and Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a different animal.
No, listen,
his work ethic, his attention to detail, his studying.
It was second to none. And nobody ever beat them. Nobody ever beat them. Not once ever.
There was one team that beat them twice.
That's a setup. What did Eli Manning say when they roasted him? He goes, I didn't want to go to the roast because I don't want to, what'd he say? I don't want to roast him a third time or something like that.
And now that team that beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl, now they have planes flying around their stadium saying, please fix this dumpster fire. That plane was flying around the stadium this past Sunday during the Giants game. There was a plane flying around and the plane said, Mr. Mara, would you please fix this dumpster fire?
Jeez.
Well,
it's tough out here.
What are your thoughts there, Mr. Matarazzo?
On the Giants?
Nothing even to say about the Giants. I mean, as a Giant fan, we're too pathetic to even discuss, to be honest with you.
Go ahead, Steve. Sorry.
Yeah. What I would like to just. Normally we talk sports for like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
if it's okay, if sure. it's okay.
It's your show. Yeah, of course it's okay. Whatever but you want.
And it's fabulous that we have Sonny here because I have been preaching, and people probably get tired of listening to me on this show about medical treatment and workers' compensation. And I'm going to bring up a really tough subject right now. Something terrible happened earlier this week or last week. A CEO of an insurance company was killed, and it's horrific, horrific. It's wrong. Violence is wrong.
Right.
It segues, though, there were articles. I'll just quote the articles, rather, articles about how insurance companies, again, no reason for violence, how insurance companies have denied people medical treatment. And Joe, since the day you met me, I have preached that people in workers' compensation do not get the proper medical treatment. I tell you they send them to at Amazon Amcare. I tell you they send to cutoff doctors. You got a foot drop and you've got incontinence and they're sending you to a hand doctor rather than a back doctor. What we have seen in the news media is exactly what I am talking about. And people need to wake up. If this denial, and again, violence is unacceptable to me, but to deny injured workers or people that need medical procedures when these companies, the CEOs of these companies are pulling down over $100 million a year. There's some little old lady in Philadelphia that gets hurt at work or walking into a supermarket, and the insurance companies deny that person medical treatment. People, this is what the three of us deal with every day. And if you don't go out and get an experienced workers' compensation lawyer to get the proper medical treatment, they will deny, 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 and you won't get the proper treatment. And I have been preaching this since the day you met me.
Yep.
And what happened, what is going on in this country with denying people medical treatment when they need it? You've got to get a lawyer to fight back.
Well, let me jump on there and say this, and I'm not even joking. That was one of the great segues I can ever remember.
Definitely.
I mean, it immediately, and Sonny, one of the great, you meet the guys, we've had the conversation about PA and Jersey work comp.
Right.
It's great being in this. I am spoiled. I mean, I have great people around me. And who have impacted their industries, and Sonny, has been renowned in the Pennsylvania region for decades. And I got a chance to meet the guys here, and I have never met and New Jersey attorneys. I've got we've got some great friends that are and do a good job, but then Matarazzo and Loops. And when it comes to the medical. These guys are going to talk about how they treat and how they deal with New Jersey Medical mm-hmm. when their client's getting screwed over. But you did hit a real shot with me here, Steve, especially around the holiday season when you think about people getting denied in this game, okay? If it wasn't for guys like you guys, okay, they would be so... It would be so tragic. It's unbelievable. I got a situation right now, and even know what's going on with this guy. But they've been pushing him around for months, and he's a foreman for a company, mm-hmm. and he's in Philly. But my point is, it's a great, great point you make, Steve. And I'm amazed.
I was going to say, insurance companies do it because they know they can, and they know when they do that. For the most part, they're going to starve people out.
Yeah,
and they're either going to force them back to work,
but somebody's going to get broken.
Right. Well, that's what happened, in the recent event. You know, people get frustrated. So they're either going to force them back to work before they're ready, or they're going to force them to take a lot less than what their case is worth. At least in Pennsylvania, the employer has control over medical treatment for the first 90 days, only if they give the injured worker a list of 6 company or panel doctors to treat with, and they have the injured worker sign what's called a 90-day injured worker bill of rights, advising the injured worker that they have to treat with the company doctor for the first 90 days. If they don't do both of those things, then the injured worker in Pennsylvania never, and I'm going to repeat, never has to treat with the company doctor.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's capitalize on that, because you have a good state, and I live in that state. Our state, nah.
No.
The workers' compensation insurance companies control medical treatment 24/7, but here's the difference, okay? You need a lawyer to make sure you're getting the proper medical treatment. These insurance companies, and I've said this, you have a back injury, they send you to a hand doctor. You got a shoulder injury, they send you to a foot doctor. This is why you need a lawyer to step in, like us, and say, everybody always says, oh, in workers' comp in New Jersey, they control the treatment. Bull, you know what? If you're not being treated by the proper physician, or you're not getting the proper medical treatment because they send you to cutoff doctors, I'm stepping in and spending my money and getting you to the proper physician to get the proper medical treatment. There's a gentleman that listens to this show every time we have it. He lives in the Toms River area, and I'm sure he's listening right now. And all they've done to this poor man, he has a head injury, he fell out of an attic. All they've done is deny. Psych, neuro, orthopedic. And every time I have to file an application with the court to try to get him treatment, I signed up. This is horrific. I signed up a gentleman this afternoon that 10 minutes before we started this, where he has a total disability order, and he is getting medication that is fed by a pump that is $3,750 a month. Wow. And after 20 years, some claims adjuster said, we're just not going to approve it any longer. This man could die if he doesn't get this medication. So this is, and their doctor, when I say their doctor, the workers' comp doctor, the insurance company's doctor, is recommending and begging them to pay for the medication. And they just decided, you know what? We're not going to pay it because our CEO probably wants to take a $100 million bonus at Christmas time. No, people, you need to understand, you can't tolerate that. You've got to get somebody like me to help you so that they can't screw you, period.
Steve, yeah. You're absolutely right. Even during that first 90-day period in Pennsylvania where the employer controls medical treatment, it's important to see an attorney if you feel that you're not being treated properly. That way we can send you to a doctor and be prepared as soon as the 90-day period expires, you know, to get you the medical care that you need and that you deserve.
Do you want to jump in there, Steve?
Yeah, and you know, it's not just about them sending you to the wrong type of doctor, right, which does happen. You know, Steve talked about somebody with a back injury and a foot drop and them sending them to, you know, a general orthopedist that generally deals with knees and shoulders.
Right.
They do that, but the other thing that they do is they have a panel of doctors, the insurance companies, you know, in New Jersey, where they are going to send you to doctors that they know, that they kind of have under their thumb, that are going to say, okay, you know what, you had you're 65 years old, you have some degeneration in your back, even though it was asymptomatic, and you now had this work-related accident, and now you have urinary and fecal incontinence, and you never had that before. Well, the stenosis in your back, it's all pre-existing. So any type of medical treatment that you may need, yeah, sure, you may need surgery, but it's all pre-existing. People growing up generally trust doctors. I always trust my doctor. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel that the doctors take the Hippocratic Oath and that they have my best interest at heart. Oftentimes, you know, unfortunately, what we see in workers' comp is that the doctors don't have the patient's best interest, you know, at heart. They have the insurance company's best interest so that they could continue to get cases from the insurance company. There are not Let me just finish real quick. You know, there's not a lot of attorney. You hear the passion in my partner's voice.
Yeah.
That's not for the radio. That's not for shows.
Oh, I know that.
No, this is what he eats, sleeps, and breathes. This is what I eat, sleep, and breathe. There are not a lot of attorneys in New Jersey that are going to go out, spend their own money to try to get you the proper medical treatment and then use that report and have the, you know, for lack of a better term, fortitude to go and try the case against these insurance companies, against doctors, you know, and that's what we do, you know, in our firm. So I think it's important that you make sure that you're getting the proper lawyer to get you the proper medical.
Absolutely. And somebody is not just going to take no for an answer.
Right.
Right.
Right. So let me say this to you, and I am very passionate about this. So I have a lady that has complex regional mediated pain syndrome. I sent the pictures of her foot to the judge that are, and Joe, you know, I'm not a big guy. Her foot is as big as my head. Okay. And when I had to deal with the attorney for the insurance company, he glibly said to me, I'm too busy to deal with this.
Jeez.
Okay. Really? You're too busy to try to help this lady? She saw the doctor on December 3rd and he recommended pregabalin, a cane, because she needs sympathetic blocks for the CRPS. And he's too busy to contact the insurance company to make sure this lady gets the proper medical treatment. As soon as he said that to me, I filed an application with the court last night. I emailed the judge and I said, I need to speak to you first thing in the morning. And I had a conference with his boss, since he refused to do his job, and the judge, and we got this straightened out. This is what people out there are experiencing, and I'm interested in fighting for the little guy. I'm 5'3", but I will walk through a wall for you to get you medical treatment.
And I'll tell you, I wanted Sonny, you know, to hear these, you know, this passion, because when you have somebody who is interested, who has a client who's been injured with New Jersey compensation, or in New Jersey, you hear, I had been doing this for 10 years and have never heard that. You know my saying about the Walt Whitman Bridge. But what your point also, especially this time of year, okay, you guys are all on the front lines of this. Man, I can't get off of that point and that segue of, you know, and 100%, man, that guy was so, I mean, to say that he was wrong is just the understanding, you know, nobody has the right to take somebody's life under any circumstance. So it's terrible. Although my wife was reading the comments on some of the message boards. And, you know, I mean, they're very cruel comments, you know, because a lot of, I'm surprised that it doesn't happen more. I'm glad it doesn't.
Yeah, because a lot of non-medical professionals are making these decisions, you know, at the insurance company. So it's even more frustrating because you're like, come on, I'm supplying you with all the medical that you need to pay this bill or to approve my surgery, and you're not. Why?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, I have The runaround is unprecedented when people try to do things themselves. Okay, that becomes a real joke. I wonder though. It's an interesting point. We're talking workers' compensation here. I wonder though. I heard something crazy that United Healthcare, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. This is, but I did hear this, and I think I heard it on TV or something, but that they deny 1 out of 3 claims or something like that?
I heard that too, that they have the highest denial rate of any insurance company in the United States.
I mean, and what happens when somebody gets denied? It's not like if you get injured on the job, you know, you're not lucky. You're obviously unlucky, but at least you have advocates like yourselves to go to bat for somebody. If somebody, let's just say they fell down their own steps, sure. Okay? They don't have, how do you appeal that? Like, you don't have a lawyer that can do that. They just, I mean, are there lawyers that appeal, you know, claims that, you know, you know what I mean? Like, it's, did I just create a new area of the law?
Listen, when I first started this practice 35 plus years ago, 70 to 80% of the claims were accepted. Now it's probably 50% or less.
Incredible.
So when the claim's denied, you have to litigate. You don't have a choice. And, you know, litigation is not a quick process. You're talking at a minimum a year to litigate the case and then another 4 to 6 months to get a decision. Mm-hmm.
What are the let's look at something. So I, you know, we've had guys, cause I can't come from a Philadelphia local, my union's in, so Ironworkers Local 401. But the scenario, I'm working in Philly, but it's a rainy day. And we decide to go over to Jersey to work at the company's, you know, they're out of New Jersey, South Jersey. I got a company in mind who would put one of a number of our contracts. What happens if you're back at the yard, okay, working, you know, you're, you know, doing, you know, kind of like miscellaneous stuff because it's raining on the big job in Center City, and you get hurt, you know, you slip off a flatbed truck, okay? Where's workers, but you work 99.9% of the days in Philly. Where does the comp case get opened?
There's probably dual jurisdiction. You could probably open it in either jurisdiction, probably either in Pennsylvania or Jersey if you're injured in Jersey. Now, if you work 99% of the time in Pennsylvania, Pennsylvania certainly has a strong claim for jurisdiction. But if your company does business in New Jersey, if you have a certain level of contacts with New Jersey, then you could also potentially file in Jersey.
What would you do with that?
The general rule is the place where the accident happened, that's whose law controls. But it could be a situation, as Steve said, where you have dual jurisdiction and you can choose either New Jersey or Pennsylvania.
Who can choose? The lawyer?
No, the injured worker.
Okay. Until I met these guys, I can tell you where I'd be, you know, like, who would actually give you that choice? Like, in other words, I wonder, somebody, by the way, if you're working back at the yard, you're typically a steady Eddie. You're not, that's
it. I can answer that question.
Go ahead, Steve.
I can answer. Very simple. Okay. Mm-hmm. Number one, the temporary disability rate, the money rate when you're out of week is higher in the state of Pennsylvania than it is in New Jersey. That's number one. Number two, you can choose, as my colleague said, you can choose your own doctor in Pennsylvania if certain things are done. You can't do that in Jersey unless a lawyer helps you with that. So what you need to do is you need to have two competent attorneys, one from Pennsylvania, one from New Jersey. Pennsylvania, New Jersey is a functional law state. So what you can do is you can get your medical in Pennsylvania. You can get your temporary disability money while you're out of work in Pennsylvania. And if you go back to your job, and Sonny, correct me if I'm wrong, because I do the Jersey side. In New Jersey, we have functional loss, which means if you tear your rotator cuff and you have a surgery or you have a microdiscectomy, a low back surgery, and you go back to your job, if my information is correct, in the state of Pennsylvania, you don't get a big settlement.
Correct.
Well, in the state of New Jersey, you do get a settlement mm-hmm. because we are a functional law state. So if you get the medical and PA, you get the money while you're out of work in PA, and there's dual jurisdiction, you come to me if you go back to work. I will get you a tax-free settlement with what are called reopener rights so that if the shoulder or the back gets worse, we reopen the case. And if you reopen the case and get more medical treatment, you get another settlement and can keep reopening the case. That's why you need two experienced attorneys like Sonny and myself running the show.
And the difference in Pennsylvania, which is a wage law state, as soon as the injured worker returns to work in some capacity at the same or greater pay, then their case is essentially over except for continuing medical.
So when I think so that you can't reopen a case in Pennsylvania.
You can reopen a case if the injury forces you back out of work, but we don't have functional loss benefits.
Okay.
We have what's called specific loss benefits, and you know, it's kind of a different animal. If you amputate a finger, amputate a hand, or an arm, you might be entitled to a specific loss award, but that's different from a functional loss award.
So are there cases, like Steve Matarazzo said, where that'd be communicated? I mean, there obviously is cases where New Jersey and work comp cases would weigh in on the same case.
Yeah, the example that Steve just gave, mm-hmm. Where you're collecting wage loss benefits in Pennsylvania, you return to work at the same or greater pay, and you're no longer entitled to wage loss benefits in Pennsylvania. But because you have dual jurisdiction in New Jersey, you can file a claim for functional loss.
It sounds like, in a sense, the pre-existing, how our a lot of our people in Philly get, they get injured and then they get beat up with that. The doctor says it's a pre-existing injury and you got to go back to work.
It's a problem in Jersey too.
Is it a problem in Jersey?
Yeah. Now, what the law says is as long as the work-related accident or injury, even if you do have a pre-existing condition, as long as the work-related accident or injury is a material contributing factor, so it has to have contributed in a material sense, not the only factor, not the primary factor, but it's contributed to either causing or, here are the key words, accelerating, aggravating, or exacerbating, basically making the injury worse. Or, you know, even if you were scheduled for a knee replacement 3 months out and you have an injury on the job and now you need it a month out, guess what? That should also be part of your, or that should also be compensable.
It actually sounds like when you reopen a case, like in New Jersey, that it would be the definition of a pre-existing injury. Does that mean you go back? You could go back to work, try yes. it, and it might not work out?
Yeah, and you could still work. When you reopen the case, basically it's because the law in New Jersey recognizes that a lot of these work-related injuries, they don't get better with time, right? They don't get better just because you got a settlement. They don't get better with money. They get worse over time. So as long as it's a progressive worsening of your condition and you feel as though you need further medical treatment, as long as you reopen it in time, which is 2 years, then the workers' compensation insurance company, they have to, again, pay for your medical. If you're taken out of work again, right? Like, let's take the rotator cuff example. Let's say you have a unoperated rotator cuff, okay? You get your settlement, you're back to work, and then all of a sudden, you know, it progresses, and now you need an operation. Well, the insurance company is still on the hook for that operation. If that operation is going to take you out of work for 6 months, 4 months, whatever it is, they're on the hook for paying you the workers' compensation temporary disability while you're out of work. And then since you had the operation and now your shoulder was necessitated an operation, whereas previously it didn't, you're again going to have the right to reopen your case in Jersey in case you need further medical treatment.
Here's the kicker, Joe. Sure. Here's the kicker, people. Listen to me carefully. My partner is 100% correct. But if you don't go see a lawyer and you don't go see the judge, we don't have a jury, we don't have pain and suffering in workers' comp, it's a functional law state in New Jersey. If that judge does not sign that judgment that says you have a disability rating of that shoulder and you're entitled to X amount of tax-free money for your functional loss, if the judge doesn't sign that, you don't have extended reopener rights. The only way to get these reopener rights is for the judge to sign the judgment. Let me put this in English. Joe, you're my client. I take you to court virtually today, and I settle your case for 25% of the shoulder. That is 150 weeks that you get paid under our statute. People, what that means is you don't get the money in a lump sum. It gets paid out over time. Well, Joe, the statute says you have 2 years, Joe, from when you last get the settlement check to reopen the case. So if I settled your case today for 25% of disability rating, it's 150 weeks. You're going to have like 5 years to reopen this case. But if you don't go see that judge and he or she does not sign that judgment, your reopener rights are clipped.
And this is
why it's so important.
And so normal people like regular guys like me would not know that, right? I mean, in other words,
And your employer is not going to educate you, believe me.
You know, so,
exactly.
So we have a lot of people that contact our office and
the statute of limitations has run out?
No, not even that. But they don't know. The only reason that they contact our office is because the insurance company is denying their medical treatment.
Sure.
You know, after a period of time. Or they're now not paying them in a timely fashion while they're temporarily out of work. A lot of people don't understand or don't realize that they're going to be entitled to that third benefit, which is a settlement. Again, you only get the settlement in workers' comp in Jersey if you take your case in front of a judge. So that's why you absolutely need a lawyer. But again, like Steve said, more importantly than the settlement in some cases is the right to reopen your case, which again, you can only get if you have that settlement. So, you know, there are times that I'm speaking to clients, you know, that they're referred to me, that they don't want to file a claim because, no, my employer's taking care of everything. They're doing everything that they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Right? I'm getting medical treatment. I'm getting paid while I'm out of work. Why do I need a lawyer? You need a lawyer because there's that third benefit, which is a settlement with the right to reopen your case in the future that you would not otherwise have.
How often does a there'll be no names mentioned, but there's a good friend of mine who got injured, and he's not a good friend, a good acquaintance. He's an iron worker, and he's going through a lot right now. It's been 6 to 8 weeks, and they will not give him diagnostics, right? So he doesn't want to go to a lawyer because he's a steady Eddie, and he's been working for the same company for a long time. He wanted a second opinion. He got one. okay, but he can't get an MRI because he can't get one without a lawyer backing, you know, the MRI just wants a guarantee from a lawyer, a letter of protection. And now we got the company involved, his own company. He's been there 30 years. Is it possible that they, like, they'll contact the insurance company and the insurance company still won't react to the company? In other words, does the insurance company, if the foreman or the boss or the owner of the company says, I want this guy to get an MRI, he's been hurt for 2 months, is there a possibility that they still may deny the actual?
Yeah.
I mean, if the insurance company insures you for workers' compensation, they call the shots, mm-hmm. not the employer. I mean, the only time the employer really calls the shots is if they're self-insured. And a lot of times, even self-insureds have what's called TPAs, third-party administrators, who make those decisions.
And I've been, you know, taking it real delicate with the guy because I don't want him to...
My first suggestion to him would be to try and use his private health insurance to get the MRI or whatever diagnostic he feels he needs. And if that doesn't work, then really his only other option is to see a lawyer and file a claim.
I mean, is a doctor recommending this MRI and the insurance company is just willy-nilly saying, no, we don't agree with that doctor, you know, because if he's got a prescription for it, he absolutely should see a lawyer, you know, and I don't know what state he's in.
He's in Philly.
Okay, so, you know, Sonny would be able to, you know, answer the question better, but if he has a prescription, if he was in Jersey, you bring that prescription to us and we're filing a motion immediately in the workers' comp court to compel the medical treatment that's recommended by the authorized workers' comp doctors.
I just don't see how this is not in many ways, because they sent him to one of these work comp places, mm-hmm. and he wasn't even seeing a doctor. Finally, he's a smart guy, but also he's been with the same company a long time, so he doesn't want to lose his job with them, even though there's 500 other companies out there signatory to the iron workers, right? But he said that a doctor, he said, first of all, she wasn't a doctor, she's a physician's assistant or something, right? And he said that to her, you're giving me an exercise regimen here or you know, a treatment regimen. I've gotten an x-ray and there's nothing there, but yet, and it's been weeks now, okay? How do you know what it is? You know, like, in other words, I want you to send me for an MRI. She flat out said no. That sounds crazy, but I mean, like, in other words, isn't that some kind of breach of
Listen, quite often these panel providers are bonused based on what they can save the insurance company and the employer in terms of medical expenses. So it's not surprising. I mean, I hear it every day.
Yeah, it's and Steve Matarazzo, when you hear something like that, okay, when somebody's getting a runaround, I'm sure both of you have, all three of you have stories of people that have really ended up their whole entire life, you know, who have, you know, been afraid to make a decision and ended up, in a sense, crippled because they you know, and I said this, I'm loyal to the company. I'm not one of those union guys. Nothing annoys me more than being on a show, on my labor show, and it happened. I got one guy in mind who's a rare type of dude, is always coming down on the contractor, right, or the employer. Without the employer, and you know because you're all employers in here, mm-hmm. There is no job, okay? So I'm not coming out against them. But, you know, if you're that loyal to them, that you're willing to sacrifice the rest of your life. And this guy's in a lot of pain. I just got off the text with him. I'm texting back and forth right now. Mm-hmm. And I asked because he went to the employer, and the employer, he's waiting for, I'll read you the text. I mean, you know, God willing, he's going to get that MRI now, right? I don't want to sit there and say, oh, by the way, your employer's got as much pull as you do with the insurance company. They already got the premium. But I'm sure you've all seen nightmare stories. We got 2 minutes. You know what? Take out the 15. Let's go to 30. We're going to stay on. We got Steve Matarazzo, Lubscher, and Sonny Banks in here. We're going till midnight, ladies and gentlemen. But no, it's just tragedy, and I'm so happy that there are litigators like yourself that stand up for people. Sonny Banks, by the way, if you would introduce yourself and the firm, because we didn't do that in the contact information.
No problem. My name is Sonny Banks. I'm the owner of Banks Law. It's a boutique law firm in Center City, Philadelphia, and we focus on disability law, which includes PA workers' compensation benefits, Social Security benefits, VA benefits, and long-term and short-term disability.
Steve Matarazzo, if you will, sir.
Steve Matarazzo, every client gets my cell phone, 609-432-4668. All I do is workers' compensation, nothing else. If it involves another issue and we deal with those things, we refer you to an employment lawyer, PI lawyer, Social Security disability. All I eat, sleep, and drink is comp and insurance companies.
And that's in New Jersey, right?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Steve Lubscher, if you will.
Steve Lubscher, law offices of Matarazzo and Lubscher. You heard the little soliloquy from my partner. Same thing here, New Jersey workers' comp law firm.
Fantastic. Well, guys, fantastic, very passionate show. Shout out to the boss, Michelle Matarazzo, for letting us have this show and for doing a great job and making it all happen back at the firm.
Yes, Steve, I want to thank you for inviting me.
No, our pleasure.
I had a great time.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the Matarazzo and Lubscher Show here on WWDB Talk 860. Shout out to Tyler, our producer. Shout out to Sonny Banks, Steve Matarazzo, Michelle Matarazzo, and Steve Lubscher. On behalf of everybody on the panel, happy holidays, everybody.